Just if you can remember the state, Ohio, you got it. That's pretty much it. I forgot to share. We do have some prayer cards. I know the church has some of these. We haven't printed new ones yet because it's still a decent card, but my wife and I are going to have Rebecca take a picture and maybe get some new ones printed out. It's okay, buddy. You can come back later when Brother Cato preaches. So we do have some. I put some back there, and I'm going to leave them back there. If you don't have one, I just ask you to pick one up. So I know Pastor has us scheduled for the missions conference in September, so I'll save the missions messages for that week if he asks me to preach. If not, it doesn't matter. I just want to be encouraged by the other missionaries and be a blessing. But what I'd like to do this morning is actually answer a question that many of us in the auditorium have probably asked one time or another. Now, if I cry during the service, don't get upset at me. You know, you said, I thought Marines don't cry. Well, you know, if it happens, it happens. You know, that's why I told my wife I need my handkerchief just in case. But I want to answer the question is, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? I think all of us have been there sometime in our lives. Sometimes we lose a loved one, maybe sickness. Somebody hears something about a church member and they're like, Lord, why is that happening to that family? And sometimes we just ask God why. If I had to give a title to this morning's message, it would be how to deal with injustice in our lives. Job said, yet man is born into trouble as sparks fly upward. Jesus promised in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world ye should have tribulations. John also went on to say, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Daniel was thrown in a hole. Why? Because he prayed to his God. David was treated unfair most of his life by Saul. Ever since the fall of man, injustice has filled this earth. During World War II, many Japanese living in America were put into internment camps. Some did not speak Japanese and were forced into these prison camps. Why? Because our fear put innocent Japanese Americans in prison, even though they had done nothing wrong. So the harsh reality is, injustice is real, even today. But what drives injustice? As we look around us, injustice is a real problem. Number one, personally, being treated unfairly. You know, life is not fair. Take Joseph and his brothers in the Old Testament. Here we find the biggest, without a doubt, the biggest family drama in the Bible. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. In Japanese, they would say, Soseki. Soseki sanju nanasho. Ises kare onses mani. But it's Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. That's setting the story. We know the story very well. We read it. So much for us to learn in this portion of Scripture. And I'm just going to try to do my best with the Holy Spirit's help to answer that question. You know, Jacob, Joseph's father, gave him a coat that would have been worn by a person who was in power and had authority. It symbolized a ruler or an order giver. And can you imagine how his older brothers felt? How would you have felt in that situation? Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. But these verses have such a deeper meaning, I believe. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his brothers put together. His brothers saw the favoritism, so they acted against their father's unfairness. Number two, people are unjust because they are unaware of God's master plan. God does not show us what he has for our lives, because if he did, many of us would run the other way. You know, I be in the way, the Lord led me. Sometimes all we need to do is get out of the way, and then God can actually step in and do what he wants to do in your lives. I read Mrs. Child's, one of her poems that she wrote, Into Thy Hands. It's in the front of my Bible often about, he would teach us in college about living an open hands life, not like this, but like this before God. We're taught that God is all-knowing, he's omniscient, he's all-powerful, he's omnipotent. We're taught that, and we know that. We know that God can do all things. We know he sees all things. He's in charge of everything. He knows what's going on politically here in the United States and the whole world. God's in control. He has a master plan according to his word. Nothing surprises God. Absolutely nothing. God uses circumstances in our lives for the good. We know that Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good. That's what God said in Romans 8:28. God uses trials in our lives for good. We must trust God's grace during hard times. We've gone through some stuff, like many of you, since 2014. We've been through a bunch, family stuff, you know, understanding, God, why is this happening? You know, why is our daughter sick? You know, why can't she get over this? You know, all these questions, and we've asked God over and over again. And you know, folks, we just gave it to the Lord because he's the only one that can do something about it. So we have to trust in God's grace. Think of Rebecca in the Bible for a moment. She was expecting twins. She received the promise from God that the elder would serve the younger in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. As the boys grew, Esau and his dad were close. They liked to hunt. They liked to fish. We would call them outdoorsmen today. Jacob was an average guy. He stayed at home a lot. He'd probably be the guy that would be playing video games all the time at home today, or on his phone. I think the average young adult spends anywhere from 4 to 12 hours on their phones a day. is the latest thing that I've read. We need to be careful. Those phones, they can control our lives, can't they? I know. It's a real thing. Why do you think the designer of Apple, Steve Jobs, wouldn't let his own kids use that device? He knew. And he's not a great example for us. But Jacob was an average guy. We would call him probably a mommy's boy or something like that today, right? Rebecca chose Jacob as her favorite. Now, folks, there's something to be learned here. Parents must love all their children equally. They all have their own talents. They're all different. They have different personalities. Some are happy, some are sad, some are emotional. Some are athletic, some are musically inclined. Every single one of our children are different. But Rebecca took things into her own hands, her own schedule. And she allowed bitterness to grow into her heart. And her bitterness affected her oldest son. Instead of trusting God's plan, Rebecca and Jacob came up with their own plan to deceive Esau. What was the result? Esau had a root of bitterness. Why? Because of his parents' unfair favoritism. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. When we receive injustice, remember that no one can keep us from doing the will of God. God has a perfect will for each and every one of our lives here this morning. But number three, the way to escape bitterness is to forgive. Is there someone you need to forgive this morning? I say there's somebody that just really gets underneath your skin. You need to forgive them. Let it go. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for Christ's sake, God hath forgiven you. God's forgiven you, Raphael, all your sins, amen? Then we ought to forgive others. Who are we to hold a grudge? You say, you don't know. We're going to talk about it in a minute. You don't know what that person did to me. Just think what they did to Christ. Joseph would look back years later and say to his brothers who sold him into slavery and those who put him in prison in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Question. How can we get to the same place as Joseph? How can we get there? Two choices. Moving backward or going forward. You know, forward motion causes friction. When we're doing something for God or we're in the middle of God's will, guess what? There's going to be friction. Satan may attack you. If you're in full-time Christian service, guess what? You have a target on yourself and your spouse and especially your children. I want you to pray for your pastors of this church, for Brother Caleb, his wife, their kids. Because if Satan wants to attack, he's going after the people in full-time Christian service. And if he can't get them, he's going to get the wife. If he can't get the wife, he's going to get the kids. He's going to go after them. We need to pray specifically. Pray for your missionaries. Now, Lord, bless our missionaries. Pray for their kids. The mission field is so difficult for children of missionaries, MKs, PKs. Why? Because they're not seen. They're always forgotten in many cases. They expect those kids to live in that glass house. Anyone that's been a PK or an MK know exactly what I'm talking about. They expect them to be perfect. If you ever find a perfect Christian, take a picture, because I haven't found one yet in 30 years. None of us are perfect. We all fall short. Moving backward or moving forward, two choices. First, A, you can react in your flesh, and that's going to take us backward. Instead of believing God allowed it for a reason, some say, I'm going to get even. And God doesn't want that. Others say, that's the way I was treated when I was growing up. So they justify their actions. So we don't want to go backward. We want to go forward. So how can we go forward, Brother Brew? How can we as a Christian go forward? React as Christ would. He forgave. Jesus trusted the Father to bring judgment or to judge. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 24, the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." Verse 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteousness." Verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whom ye stripes ye were healed." Atonement. What a wonderful aspect of forgiveness of all of our sins. So if you want to go backward, live in the flesh. Don't forgive. You're going to be an unhappy Christian. Or you can forgive. You can move forward. And this reaction must be controlled by a Holy Spirit controlling of our lives, being completely controlled by God's Spirit. Number four, we're dealing with injustice, how to deal with injustice. Number four, recognize our responsibility. The world says if we were hurt as a child or as an adult, we can justify it by doing wrong to someone else. That's what the world's philosophy is, but that's not what the Bible says. Does this type of thinking line up with the Bible? Absolutely not. No, it doesn't. Romans 14, verse 12, the Bible says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." We're responsible. All of us will have to give an account to God someday. God does not give us a pass to hurt others. We are responsible for our actions. Now, Joseph, think about Joseph for a minute. Joseph could have had a sinful response. He had the perfect chance to take revenge on Potiphar. He could have had an affair with his wife. He chose not to do that and not to sin against his God. When I look at Joseph's life, I kind of try to relate to it in our own lives in this way. Joseph could have easily done the following. Number one, he could have said, you know, God has left me. But the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But when we're going through the trial or the tribulation or the injustice in our lives, what happens is sometimes we're like, God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? Why am I at the doctor's office for the fifth time this month? Why did I lose my mother at 70 years old? I asked that question. Lord, we're serving you on the mission field. Why is this happening to us? God said, trust me. Just trust me. Now, secondly, Joseph could have said, you know, my family has rejected me. You go to Emmanuel Baptist Church, I was saved out of Roman Catholicism, New Jersey. I went to church twice a year. I was an EC Catholic. I call it an ECC, an Easter Christmas Catholic. I was taught that's what I was taught as a kid. But the Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No man can forgive sins. Sacraments don't do it. It's only the blood of Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you get saved, man, you know, it's so simple, but they made it so difficult there. And I can remember, you know, family members saying, you're a fanatic. Go to church all the time. Why do you go to church three times on a Sunday? You know, what's the difference between a Baptist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Methodist or all the different types of religions there are? And sometimes you can relate. Your family rejects you because you're a Christian. Just love them, pray for them, and when God gives you the opportunity to share the gospel with them, share it. Number three, Joseph could have said, my father can't get me out of here. I'm stuck in this country. My dad can't get me out of this country. You know, today we have planes, and if missionaries are going through a real difficult thing in Africa or, you know, maybe a Muslim country or something that like that that's closed, and sometimes they can't get missionaries out because it's just too dangerous. Number four, we may say, no one knows me, or no one knows my God. Five, and I can relate to this as a missionary. I can relate to this one thing. I can't speak this language. At first, I couldn't speak the language. I couldn't speak Japanese. But as a missionary, all have this feeling at one point in their ministry, and they feel inadequate to work with the people. But you work, and you study, and through trial and error, numerous times, may I say, there's a word that you can mix up when you first start speaking Japanese. You know, the word suma is wife, and sumi is sin. So you say, you need to get rid of your wife, vice and you get rid of your sin, that can be a big problem in a message. Or using ningen and ninjin. Ningen is people, ninjin is carrots. You mix that up, you can see where that can go. And I've made those mistakes as a missionary. Inadequate. You feel like the Japanese can do it so much better. That's why, Brother Brew, we're so thankful that to get two national men saved, baptized, discipled, called into full-time Christian service, go to Bible college, and graduate in the same local church, that's all God. Our theme for furlough is some water, some planet, and God gave the increase. We didn't do anything. We were just a small part of that church. There's a lot of people that ministered in that church over the years. God just allowed us to see the end result. However, the great thing is God was working a miracle behind the scene. Number five this morning, how to deal with injustice, refuse to get even. You know, 20 years after Joseph was sold into slavery, his brothers came to Egypt to buy food. Now, Joseph chose to forgive them. But sometimes in a church, when we get offended, we want that Christian to hurt or to pay for what they did to us. And that's so wrong. The Bible says in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So no matter how bad someone has hurt you, if we retaliate, we are not only disobeying God, but we are surrendering his promise to bring justice on that person. And lastly, and we'll be done, remember, God still has the ultimate master plan, and he's in control of everything. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 45. Look at one more verse. So let's read verse 8 together. Genesis chapter 45, verse 8. Ready? Begin. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me the father of Pharaoh, and the lord of all his house, and the ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. God, who allowed Joseph to be sold into slavery, sent to Egypt, lied about, put in jail, the same God gets him released from jail. He becomes the second most powerful man in Egypt. Started 17 years. Joseph's probably 37, 40 years when all this happened. God was working behind the scenes. God had the master plan for Joseph's life. So in closing, I believe one of the greatest truths to help us this morning with life's difficulties is God sees. God knows. God cares. And God can transform the bad things that happen in our lives into good. The question is, do we really believe that? So is there someone here or someone that you know of that you need to forgive and let that thing go finally? Let it go. You'll feel a lot better about it. Because that root of bitterness. You know, at our house, we were pulling weeds the other day, and there's something. Sometimes there's just like that real, real difficult weed that's down there. So when we were at Home Depot yesterday, we bought one of those tools that when you, I don't know if it has a name or something, I'm not really big on, you know, all that stuff, but I know it works. When you stick that thing all the way in the ground, it's got that little thing on there, and you can get the hardest weed right out of there, that tool. You know, I don't know. We got one of those. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to go deep. Not just rip out the top of that plant or something like that. We got to go down all the way and get the roots and to pull it out. God cares, and God can transform the bad things into our lives for the good. So we must, as Christians, trust God and his master plan and learn how to deal with injustice that comes into our lives in a biblical manner. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here at Emmanuel Baptist Church this morning. Father, bring our pastor back safely to us on Tuesday. Thank you for all those that have been faithful here. Thank you for those that pray faithfully for their missionaries, their families, their children, their ministries. What a blessing it is as a missionary to know that folks pray for you, lift you up. Thank you, Lord, for Emmanuel's faithful support for our family over the years, their encouragement. Pray, God, that you bless the upcoming Sunday school classes. Be with the teachers. Give them wisdom, guidance, and the lessons that you put on their hearts. And, Lord, be with Pastor Caleb as he preaches to us during the morning service. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.